Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22.
Amen.
Some of you are already there. Who would have guessed? Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Just going to read a few verses, although I will be referring to this entire chapter, and you'll see why here in a few moments. We'll read a few verses at the beginning and then a few verses at the end to make the point that I believe that this chapters here for. And so let's stand together if you found it. 2 Samuel 22, beginning in verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." David goes on to echo many of those things throughout this chapter. And look at verse 50 towards the end as he concludes it. Verse 50, "Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name.
Amen.
He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David and to his seed forevermore."
Praise the Lord.
Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this evening.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for the privilege of being able to be here tonight.
Yes.
Thank you for the country that we live in and the freedoms that we still enjoy here in America. And Father, as we've come here this evening, it was a joy to observe the Lord's Supper tonight and to once again remember what you did for us on the cross of Calvary. And Father, as we've come to the preaching time now, I pray you'd fill me afresh and anew with thy Spirit. Again, I recognize that without you, we can do nothing. We need thee this evening. Speak to our hearts. And Father, may we examine ourselves tonight as we think of the life of David and the things that David is saying here in this chapter. So please, Lord, help me as I preach the message I believe you've led me to preach tonight. May your word go forth with power and clarity this evening. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So I had mentioned last week, as we come to 2 Samuel chapter 21 and the chapters beyond, chapter 21, 22, 23, 24, and then into 1 Kings, we are now in the last years, the last few years, of King David's life. After David's son Absalom's death and rebellion, David's earthly journey would be rather short, comparatively speaking. He would only have about 10 more years after Absalom died. And then here in chapter 22, where we are, those years are nearly over. For if we read in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 10, we read just a few chapters later that David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. At David's death, we know, we've been looking at his life for some time now, David will have reigned as king in Hebron. Of course, after all those years from running from Saul, he would have reigned in Hebron for 7.5 years over Judah, and then he would have reigned another 33 years in Jerusalem over all of Israel. And then after the 40 years of David's reign, the Lord would take him home. His journey would be over. You know, I'm sure that David would say what all of us say when we get to the latter years of our life. We'd say that life is short. It's short, isn't it? Oh, yes, I know. We've heard it all of our lives. And yes, I know, young person sitting there, I sat where you sat listening to people say that. And I thought, really? Man, I can't wait till this school year is over. It's forever. I can't wait till I get graduated. It seems like it's forever till I graduate. And boy, till I get married. Boy, it seems like forever. It's not forever. Matter of fact, it's fast. And our journey on this earth, understand something, it goes much quicker than any of us would have ever imagined. It goes so fast. You know, God repeatedly reminds us of this again and again and again in His Word, of the brevity of life. James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. God likens our life to a vapor. I imagine all the time when I read that verse, a tea kettle or a kettle of hot water on the stove boiling away and watching that vapor just come out of it for about 2 or 3 inches and then it's gone. God says our life is like that. God often refers to our lives as a shadow. We read in Psalm 102 and verse 11, my days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. It goes quick when the sun goes down. Like a shadow. Job 8:9, for we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are as a shadow. Amen. Psalm 144 and verse 4, man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Amen. You see, as quickly as the sun sets on a day, so does the sunset of our lives. It goes quick. Psalm 89 and verse 47 tells us, remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? Job 7:7 says this, oh, remember that my life is wind. It's here and it's gone. Are we getting the point?
Amen.
Are we getting what God is trying to tell us tonight? That before we know it, it's over. Oh, I know God tells us in Psalm chapter 90 and verse 10 that the average lifespan upon this earth is 70 to 80 years, and any more than that is a display of strength and of God's grace. But if you think about it, none of us are even guaranteed that.
Amen.
I've had to do funeral services of teenagers, of young men, of little babies. We don't know how much time we have. And understand why God repeatedly reminds us of this, so that we would apply our heart unto wisdom. Psalm chapter 90 and verse 12. So teach us, he says, Moses says, a Psalm of Moses there, to number our days. Make us cognitive and acutely aware that our days are numbered. Why is that? That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In other words, so that we don't waste our life. So that we don't waste our days. So we don't squander our time. And that all of us learn at an early age or as early as possible that living for God is the very best way to live. Young person, don't waste your life trying to figure that out. Well, I'm just going to check some of this stuff out myself. Don't be a fool.
Amen.
God's given us His Word. Living for Him is the very best way. And here in our text, we find David looking back. David standing just a few moments away from the end of his life. And here in 2 Samuel 22, he is gazing back over the horizon of his life at all that has happened to him. It's been a lot.
Amen.
All the things that he's been through. The mountain experiences, Those happy moments, those times of victories and joy and times that were filled with laughter. And then those valley experiences as well. The defeats and the heartaches. Those times that he experienced great hardship and tears and heartaches. And here he is in this chapter looking back and reflecting on that. And here he is as an older man, looking back, what do we find him doing? He sings. He sings. Look at chapter 22 and verse 1 again. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, this is a song. Look at the end of it. We didn't read the whole song, but we read in verse 50, therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. Notice, and I will sing praises unto thy name.
Praise the Lord.
The end of his life, he's singing. So tonight I don't want to preach on that. I'd like to preach on the subject, the singing of a king.
Amen.
It's interesting that one of the things is there's many things that God commands us to do and not to do. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not kill. All the commandments. Lots of things he tells us. Lots of commands. But you know, one of the things he tells us is that we ought to sing.
Amen.
We ought to sing. Psalm 147 and verse 1, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. God tells us, you and I that know him as Savior ought to sing praises to him.
Hallelujah.
Psalm 147 and verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Psalm 149 and verse 1, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints.
Amen.
Psalm 149 and verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory, let them sing aloud upon their beds. Psalm 9 and verse 2, I will be glad and rejoice in thee, I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Psalm 9 and verse 11, sing praises to, I'm trying to make a point here, I hope you're getting it. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. And then Psalm 13, 6, and by the way, this is nowhere near exhaustive. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. As I mentioned tonight, even the Lord Jesus Christ, after he instituted the Lord's Supper in the upper room, he sang a hymn with his disciples there the night before his crucifixion, Matthew 26 and verse 30. Jesus Christ sang. He tells his New Testament churches in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's what we're to do. We're to sing. Psalms are psalms. Hymns are doctrinal treaties. Some of the hymns that we sing that sing about doctrine, sing about what we believe. Spiritual songs are speaking of songs of experience. How the Lord saved my soul. We ought to sing about that. So I ask tonight, why does God command us to sing? Why is it so important to sing? You know, I have the privilege of standing up here on the platform and looking out. And most of the time, everybody sings. But there's some people that don't. just saying. They won't pick up a song sheet. They won't sing. They just stand there. And I wonder why. Do you? Am I being hard tonight? I'm not trying to. Why? Why aren't you singing? What's the problem? Why does God emphasize singing so much? That's why I read all those verses. I didn't do it for filler. I did it to make a point. Here's why. Because singing is an expression of what is going on in our hearts. It is. You see, singing reflects a heart that is joyful. Singing reflects a heart that is content. Singing reflects a heart that is thankful, that is at peace with God and at peace with self and at peace with others. Singing is absolutely a reflection of our hearts. Let me show you something. I wasn't going to go here, but we don't have nothing to do but stay here. Amen? Let's Psalm 137. So I was kidding. Don't get upset with me. We'll be out of here. I know we had the Lord's Supper tonight. Psalm 137. Amen. Do you remember when God's people were taken captive and they were brought to Babylon? Do you think they were excited and happy? They were not. As a matter of fact, the people in Babylon said to them, "Hey, sing us one of those songs. You know those songs y'all used to sing going to the temple as you were marching there, those psalms of ascent. Sing us one of those songs." And they said, in verse 4, "How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" Well, they should have. But they didn't.
Right.
Why? Because of their heart.
Right.
Something wasn't right.
Right.
So let's go back to 2 Samuel 22. And I want us to consider several things about David's song tonight. But ask ourselves, as David comes to the end of his life, he sings. I want to do that. There's no guarantee I will, but I want to get to the end of my life and have a song in my heart.
Amen.
Let's notice, first of all, number one, the timing of David's song. You know, it's not by chance that the song of David here is inserted here in his life. God places song here for a specific reason in 2 Samuel 22 and at a specific time. So notice the timing of David's song. Two things about this. Number one, it was a repeated song.
Amen.
Do you know that David was known, if you look at 2 Samuel 23 and verse 1, just glance through the end of the verse there. He was known as the sweet psalmist of Israel. He penned at least 73 psalms. Do you know what the psalms were? The songbook. That was their songbook. That's what they sang. If you were to read 2 Samuel 22 and compare it to Psalm 18, you know what you'd find? That those two are nearly identical. Some would say it's a reprint. Some would say, well, it's the same thing. It's just reprinted there. I don't believe so. They say, well, it was the same time, same event, and so forth. I don't believe so. Why? Because the wording's slightly different. My point is this. I believe that this was a song that David wrote that he sung again and again and again and again throughout his lifetime. It was a repeated song. You see, David sang this song of praise for the events of his life, and he sang it again and again and again and again. Why do we sing hymns when we come in to church? Why do we sing like that? I'll tell you why we sing again and again and again. Because we need it.
Amen.
I need to have my mind fixed from all the stuff we deal with out there. Oh, I get so caught up in the things, and you do as well when you go to work every day and face lost people and face trials and face the philosophies of this world, and you're trying to live for the Lord and raise your family for God. Man, you're out there doing the battle. So what do? We come in and we sing the songs. What do we sing? Things like victory in Jesus. Oh, we're going to sing that one again. Yes, we are. You know why? Because we have victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. David's song here, I believe, was something that he sang again and again. Yes, it's much like Psalm 18. Almost identical, but not. But we see him rewording it here. Why? He wanted to sing it again. It was a repeated song. But I also notice it was a rare song. You say, what do you mean by that? David is singing the song here in our text, not right after he was anointed king. He's not singing this, although he could have. I'm talking about right here in our text. He's not singing it right here after he defeated Goliath or after he had one of those great victories over the Philistines. Although he did earlier, just the passage before, David sung this song at a very unique time. I will say a rare time that you hear a song. And that is this. At the end of his life, when it was all coming to a close. Remember, David's life was far from perfect. If you were to ask David, as a young man in that shepherd field, tell me, young shepherd boy, tell me what you think your life is going to be like. I don't think he'd say this. Well, I think I'm going to be anointed king. I don't think he'd say, well, I think that I'm going to be chased by King Saul for years and have to run from him. I don't think he'd say any of that. I don't think David's life turned out how he thought it would, just like yours didn't, and just like mine didn't. You see, David had many hardships and trials through his lifetime, running for his life from King Saul, facing victories, defeats. David experienced the death of his own son. Imagine that. David had made many mistakes in his lifetime. If he were to look back, I'm sure he would have said, well, I probably would have done some things a little bit different. By the way, some of them pretty big. He ran to the Philistines, you remember that? Away from God's people to God's enemies so that he could find refuge. He pretended that he lost his mind as he dribbled down his beard and he scabbed there at the gate. He committed that life-changing sin with Bathsheba, committing adultery with her, and then plotting to have her husband Uriah murdered. He married multiple women, violating God's instructions in his word, especially for kings. David was not the best father. Man, David had many hardships. He had many trials. He had made many mistakes. Yet after everything that happened to David in his lifetime, at the end of his life, he's still singing. He's still singing. How could he do this? Here's how. He had the right perspective of life. Don't miss this. This is the most important part of the sermon, I think. Do you know very few of God's people end their life with a song? Some do, and I'm grateful for those that do, and I hope that you do, and I hope that I do. But you know, many end their life without a song. They're not singing. They're not happy. Some of God's people, imagine this, end their life as unhappy, bitter people. They're frustrated people. They're angry people. Many of them look back on their life and what they see, they don't like. They become sad. They become discouraged. They are disappointed. They're not happy about the things that they had gone through or the way things turned out in their life. They're worried about the future. They spent their life worried about the future and or depressed about the past. And at the end of their life, there's no singing. They lost their joy. They lost their song. I wonder tonight if there's some here. You've already lost your song. Oh, you sing, but it's not coming from the heart. You talk about rejoicing, but it's not there. Your song is gone. Can I tell you the secret of David's song? And by the way, I'm preaching to myself tonight. Here's the secret of David's song. It's all about having a biblical perspective of life.
Amen.
You see, some of us have watched too many romance movies. We've read too many novels. We've fallen for the Facebook life and thinking that that's real. And we've made the mistake of thinking that life is to be something that it's not. You see, I believe that David looked back on his life and he lived the truth throughout all of his life. Although he made mistakes, although he did things wrong, I believed he lived Romans 8:28. You say it wasn't even penned then. I know that. But the truth is there. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that who are the called according to his purpose. Can I ask us all tonight, do we really believe that? As you and I look back on our lives, or look back at, or even the things we're going through right now, do we truly believe that everything we've gone through and everything that we've faced has been part of God's plan?
Amen.
It's hard to believe that sometimes, but it's true.
You
see, David believed that everything that happened in his life, every trial, every disappointment, even the missteps that he made and the mistakes that he made were all a part of God molding and shaping David into the image of Christ. You see, David looked back and saw it all as good.
Hallelujah.
The things that we would even consider good, bad, and ugly, he saw God allowed that for my good and for his glory. And because he had the right perspective at the end of his life, he could sing. He could sing. Imagine after all he's been through, he's singing a song. You know what he said in Psalm 119 and verse 71? Listen to this. It is good for me that I've been afflicted.
Amen.
How many of us have that attitude?
Right.
Lord, I'm glad that I've been afflicted. Lord, thank you for that trial. Lord, although I wouldn't have chose that, I understand that that loss in my life is a part of your plan. Yes, it hurt. Yes, it brought tears. Yes, it's difficult. But I can sing because I know that nothing you do is for my harm. It's for my help.
Amen.
And for your glory. You see, it's when we see all things that happen in our life as being good for us, that's when we sing. You see, I don't want to get to the end of my life and look back and be mad, upset, bitter, disappointed. Oh, yes, I won't be happy at all the things I've ever done in my life. I understand that. But I'll see them in the right way. I'll see them as something that God allowed or
Amen.
Ordained
Amen.
For my good.
Right.
You see, those valleys that you've gone through have been by God's design. He leads us to the valleys, and he leads us through the valleys. Those difficulties you've been in are part of God's plan. And what the problem is that we all have is we try to resist them. We try to push them away. We say, I don't like them. When we ought to be realizing, this is what's best for me.
Amen.
And what God wants for me. And when we have that attitude, guess what? We'll come into church singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." We'll have a song in our heart. So we see, number one, the timing of David's song. It was a repeated song. It was a rare song. But then number two, I want you to notice the truths that made David sing. Why is David singing? Oh, there's so many things. I'm just going to kind of machine gun these out for you. Because as we read through this song, David reflects on things that's happened in his life. He's looking back at things that God brought into his life. And what does he do? He thanks God and he praises God for it. And you and I should do the same.
Amen.
Oh, we could pick out 20 things that he's praising God for.
Amen.
But write them down quick. I'm going to give you six real quick. Number one is this, his deliverance.
Amen.
Look at verse 2. And he said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." David called God as he looked back on his life. He says, "You are my rock. You are my fortress, my deliverer, my shield. You are the horn of my salvation." You see, David praised God for his deliverance.
Praise the Lord.
By the way, we see two deliverances here. We see his eternal deliverance.
Amen.
Notice he says in verse 3, "The horn of my salvation." He calls him my Savior. David knew the Lord. David was a saved man. David knew that his sins were forgiven and that he had a home in heaven. And what he's doing at the end of his life is he is praising God for his eternal salvation. And we ought to do the same.
Amen.
You know, no matter what you and I have been through, if you and I know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, listen, it gets better. This too shall pass. We have a home in heaven. All of this stuff in this world will be gone, and we will be with our Savior in heaven.
Amen. In
order to bring a song in our hearts.
Hallelujah.
But then he also talks about his temporal deliverance. He knew in verse 4, "I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." When David thought back to Goliath, he knew it wasn't his strength that did it.
Amen.
It was God that did it. When David looked back to his deliverance from Saul all those times, he knew it was God that took care of that, not David. When he's looked back at all those battles against the Philistines, he knew it was not his skill. It was not his ingenuity. He knew it was God that delivered him.
Amen.
And you see, when we look back, stop looking at all the bad things and getting mad at them. Just remember, if you're saved here tonight, you ought to praise him and sing because of his deliverance.
Amen.
There's another thing, number two. David praised God for his deliverance. He also praised God because of his delight in David. It's interesting. Look what David says in verse 20 real quick. Verse 20. We read, "He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because," look at this, "he delighted in me." Can I let you in on a little secret tonight? God not only loves you, he likes you.
Amen.
He does.
Amen.
We could go there. We won't go for time's sake. But in 1 Chronicles 28:4, we read that. You see, often we think this, that God's against me. Well, I don't know why this isn't working out. God must not like me. He's not against us.
Right.
He is for us. He wants what is best for us. Romans 8:31. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?"
Amen.
He wants what's best for us.
Praise the Lord.
He likes us. He delights in us.
Amen.
You see, in this journey of life, understand something. He's not against us. He's on our side.
Amen.
And everything he does, whether we consider it good, bad, or ugly, he does it out of his love for us.
Amen.
So we see David sings because of his deliverance and that God delights in him. But then notice thirdly, because of his recompense to David. Look at verse 21. Here's what I mean. "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, hath he recompensed me." David praised God for keeping his word. God keeps his word. David understood something. If I do right, and by the way, he learned this like most of us did, the hard way. If I do right, God blesses me. And if I do wrong, he'll chasten me. But what I love about God is that he keeps his word. He does what he says he's going to do. And David reaped the rewards of following the Lord. And he also reaped the rewards of chastening when he didn't follow the Lord. There's a fourth thing. Notice he also praises and sings to God because of his guidance through David. Look at verse 29. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. As I said a moment ago, most of us would not have picked the path that God has picked for us.
Right.
We would have done things differently. If we would have wrote the story of our life 20 years ago, if that's possible for us, then we would have wrote a different script. But guess what? We're not writing the script. God is. We are to simply follow his script. That's what it means to be a child of God. And David knew that it was God that guided him through life. All those things that David had gone through, the Lord led him in the good times. He led him in the bad times. God was always there for David, showing him the way to go. And that's why he could look back and sing to God, praise God for guiding me. By the way, Hebrews 13:5 tells us the same thing. The Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
There's a fifth thing, and that is this. David also praises and sings to God for his enablement. Look at verse 30, if you will. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to them, to all them that trust in him. For who is a God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? God is my strength, my power, and he maketh my way perfect. You see, David understood that everything he accomplished in life was due to God's enablement.
Amen.
You see, we can't teach a Sunday school class without God.
Right.
I can't preach a message without God.
Amen.
We can't go to work without God. We can't be the father we need to be without God. You can't be the mother you need to be without God, the spouse you need to be. He enables us to do everything that we do. And if we have this understanding and this right perspective of God, when we get to the end of our life, realizing he has done all of this, guess what we're going to do? We're going to leave this world singing like David did. John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. There's one last thing I want to point out that David thanked the Lord and sang to the Lord for. Not only his deliverance, his delight, his recompense, his enablement. But notice, I like this one especially, his gentleness.
Amen.
With David. Look at verse 36. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Notice, and thy gentleness hath made me great.
Amen.
You know that God deals with all of us with gentleness.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man.
Amen.
But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able,
Amen.
But will with the temptation also make a way of escape, Amen. That ye may be able to bear it. You see, God knows exactly how much you and I can take. He knows exactly how much we can handle in our own selves. He
right.
knows that. And he never puts too much on us that we cannot handle.
Right.
He deals with us through this life, trying to mold us and shape us into the image of Christ through trials and difficulties, mountaintops and valley experiences, bringing us through things that we would never choose for ourselves. But all along, he does it with the gentleness of our God, loving us all the way and being kind and gentle to us.
Amen.
You see, God's goal, understand something, is in David's life was not to destroy David. It was to develop David. And here's the key. As long as David responded right to God, God dealt gently with him.
Amen.
That's why he could sing. Because when he got to the end of his life and he's looking back, he understood that we have a great God. We have a wonderful Savior who delivered us, who guided us, who enables us, who deals with us gently all the way. And if we have the right perspective, understand something, we won't leave this world bitter. We won't be upset at life. We won't say to God, why did you do this? And why did you do that? And why did this happen? We'll understand all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The timing of David's song, the truths that made David sing, and then lastly and finally, the teaching of David's song. This is real simple. Look at verse 51, if you would. Here's what God's trying to teach us here. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy, notice, to his anointed, unto David, here it is, and to his seed forevermore. You see, why did God put this in the Bible? Why did God show us, as David is nearing the end of his life? I mean, we had Psalm 18. If that's all that he wanted, he could have just left it there. But instead, he placed it right here. Why did he do that? Was it just for David's sake? No. It was for our sake.
Amen.
You see, the God of heaven who did all that for David is the same God in heaven that does all that for us. For all of his children. It's the same with me and you. You see, every one of us can end this journey, can end our lives, can go through this journey with a song in our heart.
Amen.
And a kick in our step. And the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
If we have the right perspective.
Amen.
So take your lip up off the ground today. I don't know if it's hanging. You got a mask on. I have no idea. But stop looking down. Stop being so depressed and discouraged. Listen, we all have a journey that God has brought us through. It's not easy sometimes. But I'll tell you what, it's all deliberate.
Amen.
God deliberately did that.
Right.
Not because he hates us. Not because he doesn't like us. Not because he sits up in heaven thinking, who can I mess with today and have some fun with? He gently deals with his children, loving us, knowing exactly what he means, so that we can be everything he saved us to be, the singing of a king. Can I ask you something? Are you singing tonight?
Praise the Lord.
Do you have a song in your heart?
Absolutely. Amen.
One more verse and we're done. Revelation 15 and
Amen.
We're done. I want to show you this scene in heaven. Revelation 15. The scene leaves what's happening on earth with the vile judgments, and for a moment, in one verse, we appear in heaven. And what do we find God's people doing? Verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, by the way, this is going to be us, so we might want to memorize this verse here. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. We're going to sing that then. Can I say this tonight? Let's not wait to sing it then.
Amen.
Let's sing it now.
Hallelujah.
Because he's good to us.
Thank
you, Jesus. His way is perfect. Don't be upset with God for what he's done and allowed in your life. Rejoice.
Amen.
Because it's all a part of his plan. And if we understand that, we'll sing the song of David. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray together.